All right, let's continue our teaching. Let's begin to conclude it, actually. We are still speaking about the issue of walking in the Spirit. That's what we have been talking about for some time. And I like the way we ended it last time, and I'll pick up from there. Now, let's just read the main text of the scriptures that we have been using. The first one is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We'll start from verse 13. It said, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, and the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You know, I said, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its own desires against the flesh. It said that, for these are in opposition to one another. So what you experience is you find it hard to do that which you please. Verse 18 now says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and it listed a number of evil things, immorality, outbursts of anger, etc. You know, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I said, against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, that is, this is how they do it. The experience of crucifixion of the flesh in their lives, it comes about as they walk in the Spirit. So those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Now, let me just stop there. Again, we read from Galatians chapter 6, where he said simply, let me summarize it. He said that who sows to his own flesh, verse 8, will from that flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. He now said, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Now, just to quickly get things together, quickly open to the book of Matthew chapter 22. Let's just read it so that we can, you know, we won't have to be flipping up and down once we are done with reading. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, some things happened before now, they now came to him. They asked him a question, verse 35. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. He said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? That is, of all those commandments, which one of them stands out? And the Lord said to him, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the great and foremost commandment. He said, the second is like it. That is, the second is the same commandment. The second is as great as that first one. The second is another way of expressing the first. He said, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, only these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That is, anytime you read any of the commandments in the scriptures that God gave them through Moses, anytime you read all the rebuke that the prophets gave to them as the inspiration that God gave to the prophet, he said everything is based on two commandments. One, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is, if a prophet will come to speak to them as per correction, it will be because they have not been loving the Lord their God with all their hearts, It will be because they have not been loving the Lord their God with all their souls and with all their minds. Or it will be because they have not been loving their neighbors as themselves. You are getting what I'm going to explain there. That is, he said, upon these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That is, without ever listening to all the law, anyone who understands these two commandments will have been fulfilling entirely all the law. And in fact, when Jesus came, he seemed to break this law sometimes. But that was because he was operating by the fullness of the law. And occasionally the law that they had will conflict, all right, with some requirements of this law. For example, a woman was sick, seriously sick. She had been bent over for like 12 years. A woman had been bent over for a very long time. And the doctors have a very fantastic word for it. And then Jesus met her on a Sabbath day. And the commandment was, you shall not walk on a Sabbath day. You shall do no work at all, either you or your animals or the slaves in your household. And then once they saw the woman and they saw Jesus Christ, they knew he was about to walk. And he was angry with them. Why was he angry? You missed the point. Please, you must follow this, that you missed the point. When God said to you, do not walk on the Sabbath day, it was a way to love you. It was a way for him to pour his blessing into your life. It was not a way by which he was going to keep you in bondage. He said, listen, if your animal were to fall into a ditch and there was a risk that it would die in the next few hours, will you say, because the Sabbath day, you wouldn't bring it out? They couldn't answer. Why? Because love. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Love decided that this woman should be set free. He said, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. Even though it's a Sabbath day, is it actually against the law that we should set her free if we have the ability on the Sabbath day? But men who practice religion, in fact, they used to tell the people that if you want to get healed, they were not among the disciples. So that was the funny part. They were just the people that used to follow Jesus about to come and check what he would do wrong. They used to tell the other Jews, go home, come and get healed on another day. Today is Sabbath. It's very funny. Listen, they were not amongst the... No, Jesus had his own protocol. I've explained to you before. Let nobody deceive you that Jesus was... He had an open door policy. Anybody could come in and see him anytime. It's a fat lie. What did I say? You see, don't seem to believe it too. What did I say? Or at least you heard me. I want to be sure you heard me. What did I say? No, it was a lie. And again, for those who don't know, let me prove it to you again. There was a time, he said, let the little ones come to me. Why? Because Peter, James, and John had made sure nobody was coming. And Jesus didn't say, come on, why are you blocking the door? I came to save the world. No. He said, anyone with a little one, let them come. As all these old men that are always looking for my trouble, let them stay outside. So people say, why do you have protocol? You need it, otherwise you will not make it in ministry. You need to have peace. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, the point is that those people were not part of his protocol. They were not part of his people walking. Yeah, they were driving people away because it was Sabbath day. The simple reason was that they missed the sense in the commandment. They missed it. They didn't understand what that commandment was saying, so they kept it to a kind of extent that they missed the spirit. They were keeping the letter of the law. And let me explain something to you. That's why what Christianity, that's what Jesus came to do, to deliver us from that keeping of the letter of the law and missing the spirit thereof. I've said this again and again. Every law has a spirit. And those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Christianity, what we are doing is going for the spirit behind that law. Please follow what I'm going to explain. So when Paul said, that's what we were teaching last time, we began to teach. He said, if you are led by the spirit, I said to you that, if you see the word by, some Bibles will use the word in, some will use the word by. New American Standard, which I use standardly, uses the word by. And that word by and in is the same thing, just the way the translators will decide how to pick which one they will use, depending on the context, all right? So when it says, if you are led by the Spirit, what he was saying simply is that remember last time I explained the meaning of the word Spirit, is the driving force in your life. That's what I'm saying. That what is the driving force in the things that you are doing? For example, you know, I said this, let me say it again. People have the impression that when the Bible says that you are led by the Spirit, you know, it created a lot of confusion in Christianity. And I keep on saying it, a lot of Pentecostals, you know, if you are a core part of it, they don't want to listen to it. But that's because they don't want to admit the fact that they are just creating confusion. When the Bible says if you are led by the Spirit, it didn't mean if you pray until your spirit speaks up. Let me say it again. He did not mean that you will pray until God gives you a vision. He didn't, any of those things that we practice sometimes now, listen to me, I'm not saying they are wrong. Are you getting my point? God can speak to you in your heart. The word of the Lord can come to a prophet. It happens. Do you follow my point? I personally have been corrected by dreams many times. There are people that angels have appeared to give instructions, not just to deliver. Angels deliver you all the time. I hope you know that. You were crossing the road today. You didn't know. They delivered you. One of them turned to a policeman and stopped the vehicle. You did not know. You thought it was a regular policeman. Some of you have seen angels. In fact, you know what I think? Most children of God have seen one. Now, what I'm telling you is not a joke. I am persuaded that most children of God have seen an angel at least once. The only thing is that they will never know. Because the angels don't show up and introduce themselves. Say, see my ID card. I'm from quadrant 4 of the upper part of heaven. They don't do that. They just do their work. They are not into showmanship. Are you getting my point? My experience in life from hearing other people's testimonies and reading the scriptures is that many people have seen one. All right? So I'm trying to emphasize the fact that these things happen. All right? They do happen. There was a time you almost got missing. A man gave you accurate direction. You thought he was one man who lived nearby. No, those who lived nearby wanted to kidnap you. So God sent an angel to give you direction. You will never find out. All right? I just want you to know you are not alone. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. But this point I'm making. So those things happen, but that was not what the Bible was saying when it said, as many as are led by the Spirit. Angels can appear and give you directions, and sometimes you will know, they will tell you, that's what I am, I'm an angel of God, but that was not what the Bible was saying. I'm trying to emphasize that even though I know it happens, that was not what it was saying. When it said you are led by the Spirit, what it was saying is that there is a spirit behind the law. Are you getting my point? There is a spirit of Christ. There is a spirit of God. If you are led by that spirit, for example, you will see the word compassion, that Jesus will look at a woman, the widow of Nain, whose only son was dead, and compassion will move him. If you are led by compassion, are you getting my point? You must understand that leading there is by the compassion of the Lord. As many as are moved by the compassion of the Lord, these are the sons of God. I don't want to go over that again. I said it last time. I just want to emphasize to Christians because, you see, I went through that struggle too as a young believer. We thought that there was a trick. People taught it. And I'm begging you, Christians, if you're a preacher, don't teach it. It's not good. They used to teach us, this is how you do it. You will kneel down. You will pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Pray like prayer until then you begin to have thoughts. That's divination. That's not Christianity. Don't worry, you won't hear from too many Pentecostal preachers. But what I've told you is the truth. You don't have to practice how to hear God. You know, in the last few weeks, all I do is digress after I started introducing my subject. And I don't care anymore. You understand? I have to just keep preaching. Once I hook onto something that will bless people, I stay there. That's my job. All right? You don't have to practice how to hear God. How do I know? Read the whole Bible. Nobody did. Some people have been blessed in the process. You know, God is very kind. Sometimes he doesn't really care how you misdo. You understand what I mean by that? That is, just do anyone you like. Once he finds something small to help you with, he helps you. Sometimes he doesn't listen. He doesn't observe to all the things you did. He just helps you because your heart is crying for help. Let me give an example. If I wake up in the morning and somebody prayed to me last night and said that if you need help from God, what you need to do, you wake up in the morning, you worship him, you praise him, after praising him, you thank him, after thanking him, don't do that Thanksgiving, sitting down, you get up, stay on one foot, and hop, while you are thanking him, Father, we worship you. After that, you now settle down and ask him for what you want. And next morning, true, you wake up. You are a young Christian, you are a good Christian, you are not a preacher. Because preachers, God, they did it then differently. Preachers, God will look and say, if I answer this boy, He's going to go and preach this thing tomorrow. I'm not going to answer him. So for a normal Christian, all right, and that's also scriptural. He said, judgment is stricter with those who are teachers, all right? So that's it, all right? Now, so you now wake up next morning. Let's begin to worship. You worship. You thank. You glorify. You do everything. Doing all of this, you're hopping on one foot. You're hopping on one foot. Then finally, you ask him for what you want. Let me ask you a question. Will you get it? He will answer you. The next question is that, did he answer you because you were hopping on one foot? Did he answer you because you were worshiping? Did he answer you because you were praising? That is, if you had woken up and said, Lord, I have an issue, and you just ask him simply, without hopping, without worshiping, without praising, without thanking to prime him, just simply ask him in faith, and you go away, you will see I've gotten the same answer. Do you get my point? I told Larry Lee, you know how he got born again, how God saved him from all his sins, and all the trauma that confusion in his life had brought into his brain, so that he was hospitalized in a Catholic mental institution. You know how God delivered him? In the institution, they had Bibles. He read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the revelation of Christ contained therein was so powerful to him, he got on his knees and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit entered into him and changed him instantly. He knew a lot of celebrities, a lot of big rock stars. So he told them, oh boy, I just got something. They said, what is it? He said, can you get the Bible there? They said, yes. Get it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you finish, get on your knees and shout, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know everyone that did it, the Holy Spirit came into their homes and changed them? Every single one. But you and I know that it's not the formula. Now, it's important we understand this because that's what causes confusion sometimes. People have been blessed doing some things. They now turn into a doctrine. I am a teacher of the Word of God. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm instructed, this is how it is, to understand the precepts of God and explain to the people of God. And they will now understand that the manifestations might vary from one life to the other. Listen to me. You don't have to practice how to hear God. That's what I was saying. I know people have stories to tell on how God spoke to them and he led them. I also have stories to tell. Don't think I don't have. I did not come to Enugu by chance. In fact, I was trained basically, that's first degree, as a medical doctor. Today I'm a pathologist. I still practice. How did I become a pathologist? So that you know that if it's spirituality, me too, I've experienced it. I haven't prayed for a long time. I know the day the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou shalt become a pathologist. And I don't mean it, no, I didn't say those words like that. But that word of the subject I had to go and study, it dropped in my head. I see somebody split my head, dropped inside and closed it. I remember the instant. But when it was time to marry, it did not happen. The time I would have loved it the most, it did not happen. When it was time to marry, which one happened? One Chiquito just came and said, first, I want to ask you a question. When she asked, finished, now I look and say, man, fine girl. That was all that happened. You now say, hey, is that not carnality? No. What I can't start describing for you now are the words, you know, the challenges, the obstacles that you have to I have to overcome with the word of God. That is what it means to be led by the Spirit. It is not that somebody whispered to you. I've been whispered to before also. But I will not come here harassing you about whispirations. There's a world of difference between inspiration and whispiration. I hope you are getting my point. As many as are led by the Spirit does not mean as many as prayed until their spirit spoke up, or what they called the voice of the Holy Spirit. That was never referred to in that context, even though I know such things happen. Very important you get this point clear. Because I've heard all kinds of things. Before you did that, what did God say to you? When I hear that, I say, how will you know it's God that said to me? Many people, you know, I got a message today. Somebody sent something to us, my chat group, my brethren, recorded from Anderson Cooper's 360. Many of you know AC 360. Yeah, the CNN program. A man who says his God is Jesus. And that when he said, believe in him who the Lord has sent, that it's not the Jesus of Nazareth, it is the Jesus of today. And I am the Jesus of today. And he has over 100 churches following him. And he said that the Antichrist is a mistranslation that is supposed to be the new Christ. So he had all his members tattoo on their body, 666. Because he is the 666. And he's going around, very handsome guy. Man, his suit impressed me. Now a small boy, he's 61. And they worship in his church. And he preaches. In fact, the small clip showed there was, you see it, you name it, and you claim it. Sounded very Pentecostal, very word of faithic. You know what I mean? Very word of faith-ic. And it says that there's no word like Antichrist. There's a mistranslation. This is the interesting part. I looked at it, I said, this fellow is a joker, thorough joker. In fact, I believe he said as a joke. The thing has overtaken him. And he's making money from me, so why end the joke? After all, for some people, the Bible says, the all of a man's struggle is for his belly. So this is my belly is occupied right here, so I change it. But beyond that, many of those people really heard voices. The Islam you are contending with today, their prophet Muhammad heard a voice. He heard a voice. The voice of the Lord came unto him saying, that is why he insisted tomorrow, and his followers insisted tomorrow that he's a prophet. And there was a man in the Bible by Jesus who used to shake everything because they thought it was a mighty power. Great works were done by that guy's hands. Don't be impressed. So you're talking about voices? Don't worry. They happen. I preached some weeks ago here talking about the defense against deception. That many false prophets actually get prophecies. It's not as if they know there are different kinds of prophets. There are false prophets that they just wake up and they do. Say, man, how much that guy go pay? Say, have you checked his bank account? What's the balance? They checked it. And it's very common in so-called Pentecostal churches. You know, they prophesy according to what they have found out about you. And the Lord said, that problem you're having right now with your wife wants to give a seed and it's not less than a million. The guy knows you have 1.7 million in your account and they've told him you and your wife are always quarreling. And you will drop the million. He's richer, you're poorer, your problems remain. But the first 1 week, it will be better because you have faith that it will be good. There are plenty, there are prophets like that. Listen, they are all over the place. They are very common these days. There was one that was bragging about his iniquity amongst his friends. My friend overheard it. He's a true pastor. That fellow is a backsliding one, if he ever was a true one. He said, I gave him the first prophecy. He didn't release. I gave him another hotter one. He did not release. Finally, I turned to him and said, is it when God kills you that you will finally release his car? And the man came, dropped the car keys for the pastor. And he said, I blessed him and he left. And he was bragging about it. Listen, I'm not telling a story of 35 years ago. This happened, I think, last year or so, or the year before. In southern Nigeria here, not in Malawi. Not United States. There are false prophets like that. There are false prophets that's the one that's most dangerous. That's what I'm talking about. There are some that they are the ones that the lying spirit departs from the presence of the Lord, enters into their mouths, and they actually are seeing visions and prophesying lies because God gave them a commandment. Go and deceive them. Those are the people that led Ahab to destruction. God said, let us kill him at Ramoth Gilead. How do we get him to go there? We'll simply tell the prophet to tell him that if he goes there, he will be victorious. When that fellow suggested it, God said, no problem, go ahead. I hope you're following my point. I want to emphasize the fact that don't run your life by visions. Don't run your life by dreams. Don't run your life by voices. They cause confusion. They will confuse your mind. But I also said, God can use those things. But it is forbidden for a Christian to practice the hearing of the voice of God. I say to you, it is forbidden. Many people have preached the opposite for long, so they will disagree with that statement. But listen, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to argue over it. I'll just let you know that it's forbidden. What a lot of Christians practice is what the Bible calls divination. They don't realize it. To set out to deliberately use different methods to so-called hear what you are calling the voice of God. Listen, those voices don't show ID card. You know, I was discussing here the other day, I don't know, was it Saturday or Tuesday? Was it Saturday or Tuesday? When I finally talked about when I got the understanding of what happened with the witch of Endor. Was it Saturday? So let me not repeat it. But I explained to you that witch saw a man who she thought, she was a medium, she described to Saul and thought it was Samuel. Saul was persuaded. So don't wait for voices. If you listen, even Kenneth Hagin will explain that if you listen too much for that, you will get confused. So Pastor Bank, what are you saying therefore? I am saying to be led by the Spirit. You know, that's our whole message. To walk by that leading of the Spirit does not mean I'm led by what I call either inward witness or the voice of the Holy Spirit, or a still small voice, or a loud authoritative voice. That's not what it means. What it means is that I am propelled by the force that comes out of the Word of God. It means that two commandments underlie everything that I do. Number one is the love for the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And number two is love for my neighbor. That's what it means. That is the summary of it. I can be led. I can get direction from divinely granted dreams. That happens. If you believe, you say amen, please. Amen. But that is not what that scripture means. Even though I agree, it has happened to me many times before. I was describing for my wife recently a dream I had some time ago. Very, very funny dream. I dreamt of two people fighting. I can't remember whether I was one of those fighting or I was observing two people fighting. And one took a bottle and was cutting the other seriously to pieces. And I was shouting, what is going on? Won't anybody stop this? I don't know what I was. Maybe I was observing. I can't even remember. But I still remember that somebody was being caught by another with a broken bottle. And I woke up in the morning. I realized, what kind of dream was that? And instantly, I just knew the meaning of it. The fact was that the man had offended me terribly that time and had told everybody that bothered to listen how much evil he had done or he was doing. And the Lord didn't know how else to tell me to shut up until he showed me in a dream that you are cutting this man to pieces. You don't realize it. God corrects people. That's not it. In fact, I've had such dreams several times on different matters. I wake up and instantly know what he's talking about. Almost all the time, it's been correction for me personally. Almost all the time. I'm remembering the one by one now. Almost all the time, it's been correction for me personally. But that was not what that scripture was talking about. In fact, the only reason those dreams made sense to me was because I already knew the word concerning it. It only came for to drive it into, let me get the point. The way I operate ministry till today, the guidance for it happened when I was serving. in 4th Mechanized Infantry Battalion in Seti, Nigeria Army. That was in my youth service. And one day I woke up and I slept and I dreamt. I knew I was walking down a corridor and I was walking. And there were doors everywhere. It was a narrow lane. You know, those kind of things. We don't have them much in Nigeria, but you see them in films around in China, like a street that just has doors left and right. You know, that kind of thing. I was walking down such a long street and I kept walking and I kept walking and I kept walking. I would turn like this, the door is locked. I would turn like this, the door is locked. I would turn like this, the door is shut. I would turn like, After a while, I got tired. I said, God, what is going on? When am I going to get out of here? At that point, I turned, this time to my left, and I saw a door that was open. I won't say beyond that. And when I woke up, I knew what it meant instantly. I was a fellowship president when I was in school. You understand what I'm saying? I was preaching the word of God from the time I was on campus. From the time I graduated till Kingdom World Ministry started, took almost 10 years. Without that dream, I would have thought something was wrong with me. We finally started preaching here, all right, about 10 years ago. I left university in 1991. I had that dream in 1993. That is, the way things were, people talked, in fact, I remember the pastor I worked with as a house officer. Once I used to go to his church to go and, walk. When I take a leave, I go and stay within 2-3 weeks, all right, and I used to preach several times a week, help drive Bible studies, counsel people, help the young people do programs, go and do hospital visitation. I did that. So you can imagine, the way it was. By that time, Pentecostal churches were starting like this. All right? Churches were starting left and right. Everybody was certain that once this guy gets out, he's into it also. I thought so too. Except that as things began to evolve, I realized it wasn't going to happen. But one thing that kept on telling me that nothing's wrong with me was that as a youth copper, I had that dream one day. Listen, I'm going to emphasize something. Such things, I have experienced them several times. I've told you the story. I don't know how many of you have heard the story. Once I decided to enter one church, one very popular church. All right? Let me go and join and be a good member and walk the walk of God. The day I stepped in, I didn't know two angels were. They knew I was coming. They were waiting. This idiot is coming to come and spoil everything that God has prepared him for him to do. Leave him. We'll show him purpose today. One of them escorted them to go and meet Balaam that time. Remember Balaam? One of them came, but they held him behind. Don't kill this one. He's a nice guy. As soon as I attended that church for months, as soon as I sat down with the mind that now we're going to join the ministry, I'm going to start the work of the ministry. Holy Spirit said, where? Boys, arrange him. As soon as I sat down, one angel just carried nylon bag, cover my face. Breathe now. I tried to breathe. They said, lie. So I almost say it's demon. You know me and demons, we have good distance for ourselves. So I know when angels are handling me, I know when it's demons. The angel said, we know you're a son of God, so don't worry, but this is an assignment for your life's sake. Now they handle, bro. I sat down. Through that service, I was distressed. I was oppressed. I thought I was dying. I couldn't breathe. Except that when I, physically take a breath, it flows. I don't know whether I get my point. But the spiritual state was as if I was choking. I didn't listen to a word that was preached that day. All I was just waiting. In fact, if I was sitting at the back, I'd have run away. But it was a very big church. I was sitting near the front, somewhere around the middle, just a little bit beyond that, between the middle and the front. I couldn't get away. It was a bit one kind. So I endured. The moment they said, share the grace, I turned around and ran. As soon as I came out of the church, everything lifted. And I remember I looked at that building. And in my mind, I said, what is going on here? I never went near there again. That was 1995. Only time I went to any of their branches was when a friend of mine wedded in another branch, another city, and I came for the Thanksgiving on a Sunday. Otherwise, when we reach they are done, I said, I go stand up. Are you not coming in? I want to live long. Not going in anywhere. I'm not emphasizing to you that spiritual manifestations like that, I've had them plenty. But I still tell you, boldly. That was not what that scripture was saying. When Paul said in Romans, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. When he said that if you walk by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In Galatians chapter 5, we read now, that's not what he was saying. When he was saying that, what he was simply saying is that what is propelling you, all right, must be two things. One, the love for God. Number two, the love for your neighbor. And that's why I kept on reading that Galatians chapter 6. You will see, he explained that don't get tired of doing good. That is, anything I want to do, it must be because I want to do good. It's called love. There are things I will say until your whole fiber, the fiber of your being, every bit of it has absorbed it. And that is that if you give because you want to get, you're not walking by love, you are sowing to your flesh. Now, I like to say that. I like to say it to emphasize to people that God is watching everything you are doing. And I said last time that when we talk about worshiping in spirit, that's what we mean. That every aspect of your life is a worship. The way you run your home is worship. The way you run your business is worship. The way you drive your car is worship. Let me just say this. No, Jesus said something. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? Love. That's what he said. That you love one another. That is one. Then don't forget, for God so loves the world. You know, many of the things we do in life today. Let me say this again. Just following that thing I said earlier about loving one another. You know, I said something last time that when the Bible says, he that sows to his flesh will from that flesh reap what? Corruption. I emphasized that, you see, in spiritual things, it's not just where what you sow. In fact, what you sow seems to be less important than where you sow. Now, what people think, the mistake people make when you're talking about where is that they look at, I used to have this when I was in school. It was a big joke amongst us. He said, bro, so into my life, oh, I'm very fertile. It was a joke. In fact, I still remember my friend. He wanted to mock one brother. He just said, hey, you, so into that brother's life, oh, he's very fertile. What he was trying to say is that the guy likes to receive. He was just trying to mock the other fellow, all right? We used to say a lot of things like that. And we say things like, ministers still say it, anything you sow into this ministry, you know, because we are doing the work of the gospel and all of that, you will get good reward for it. Well, it looks like there's some truth to that, right? But as soon as you act upon that, you lose all the reward. What are you talking about? It's simple. If the motivation is that there is reward for you, you just lost it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If the motivation is restricted to the fact that plenty work is being done there, then you have your reward. That if, like, if they say that, look, sow into this place, there's a lot going on, it's a good place to sow you so you can reap plenty. You buy that, you've lost everything. Let me explain it properly, please. If, like, now they say, oh, we are reaching 10,000 people every second, 1 million every week, you know, describe all of that. I say, for that reason, if you just sow into this place, anything you are looking for, God will quickly multiply and return it back to you. You say, oh boy, see fertile ground. Once you talk like that, you've lost it. But it seems very close. You understand? Let me tell you something. Truth and error, they usually are very similar. That's why the Bible talks about the owner of the land that they sowed sowed wheat, and at night an enemy did something, came and sowed tares. Now the issue was that the two of them looked alike. It is right, okay? Now, the error is when you say, I can get because this place is fertile. Do you understand my point? But the truth, the real spiritual substance in that, the correct one is that since these people are doing this amount of work, it's a good place to join to work. You are following that? You are following that principle? That is, it is not about what I'm going to get. Once what I'm going to get is there, it becomes sowing to the flesh.